Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at Southeast Asia's digital finance scene. It's really booming, isn't it? Nearly half of all private funding in the past year.
Yeah, it's a massive signal. We're talking 45 to 50% of total funding value, up significantly from about 30% before.
So our mission today is really to unpack what this means, especially for you, the policy shapers in government and, well, in large organizations across the region.
Exactly. Because that funding, that potential, it really hinges on two things: smart policy choices and, critically, building consumer trust.
Okay, let's start with the foundations. The progress on payment rails seems, well, pretty remarkable.
It really is. Think about it. All 10 countries now have their own national unified QR systems. That's baseline connectivity across the board.
That's huge. And the cross-border stuff.
Moving fast. 8 markets already have cross-border QR working. This is largely thanks to things like the Regional Payment Connectivity Initiative, the RPC.
The RPC.
Yeah.
Connecting to central banks, right?
Precisely. And they just brought the 9th central bank into the fold. So this isn't just talk. It's actual regional cooperation enabling, you know, seamless payments.
Okay, so the rails are there, but money needs to move on them. Lending is still the big revenue driver.
By far. Lending remains the largest piece of the DFS revenue pie. And digital banks, they're showing really strong growth, like double digits.
How are they managing that, especially if the wider economy is a bit soft? Successful underwriting seems key.
It is, and they're doing it by leveraging their whole ecosystem. They're not just looking at traditional credit scores. They're using in-app data.
What kind of data?
Well, things like payments history within their app, usage patterns, even chat interactions sometimes. It builds a much richer picture for underwriting.
But using deep data like that, doesn't that circle right back to the trust issue you mentioned earlier? That feels like a potential friction point.
It absolutely can be. And that brings us squarely to the two big challenges we're seeing. That trust deficit and fragmentation.
Explain that trust deficit. People are using these services, right? Embedded finance, payments, pay later.
Adoption is high, yes. But loyalty, that's low. Many consumers, maybe even you, still don't trust these digital players as much as, say, a traditional bank, especially for significant credit needs.
And they show it how?
By juggling multiple e-wallets, for instance. There isn't that deep-seated reliance on one provider for everything.
Okay, trust is one challenge. What about fragmentation? I'm guessing regulation plays a role here.
A huge role. We're seeing policy tightening reshape markets. Look at Indonesia, for example.
Yeah, what happened there?
The OJK, their financial services authority, slapped an equity floor requirement on peer-to-peer lenders.
Wow, an equity floor. That's quite a move.
Exactly. It's designed to force consolidation. Fewer players, but hopefully better capitalized, more stable ones. For policy folks listening, it shows how fast rules can change the game.
And this regulatory fragmentation must get even trickier with AI, right? Different data privacy laws, data localization rules across
Oh, it's a major challenge. It creates significant compliance risks and costs if you want to operate AI models across borders. This patchwork of rules really holds back innovation at scale.
So inaction isn't an option for policy shapers. What's the immediate need to kind of unlock this intelligent economy?
Clarity, first and foremost. Regulators need to articulate clear, principle-based frameworks for AI, and crucially, they need to foster experimentation.
Oh.
Regulatory sandboxes. Create safe spaces, test beds, where businesses can actually try out AI applications at scale without immediate, full-blown regulatory consequences. You need to understand it to regulate it effectively.
That makes sense. But then there's the business side. Enterprise-wide AI is expensive. In a region with relatively low labor costs, isn't that a tough sell? The ROI must be hard to justify.
That's the core dilemma, and it means businesses can't just dabble with isolated AI pilots anymore. To beat the cost-value equation here, you need full enterprise transformation.
Which requires more than just tech investment.
Absolutely. It demands a really strong human capital strategy. You need the skills to integrate sophisticated, costly tech with the economic realities on the ground. It's systemic.
So pulling it all together for the next decade, the message from the sources seems clear. Tech adoption is one thing, but regulatory choices will truly define the trajectory.
Exactly. It's either cooperation unlocking potential, like we see with the cross-border QR, or fragmentation inhibiting it. That's the stark choice.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to consider. Given that Southeast Asia is so reliant on non-card payments e-wallets, QR codes, how fast do policymakers need to move on defining rules for, say, AI agents making payments?
Right, these agentic transactions. Because if the region doesn't define those boundaries soon, will the global card networks, who are definitely stepping up their game here, end up dictating the future payment infrastructure? It's really a race to define the future locally.